أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولا تمشي في الأرض مرحا إنك لن تخرق الأرض ولن تبلغ الجبال طولا. كل ذلك كان سيئه عند ربك مكروها. ذلك مما أوحى إليك ربك من الحكمة. ولا تجعل مع الله إلها آخر فتلقى في جهنم ملوما مدحورا. أفأصفاكم ربكم بالبنين واتخذ من الملائكة إناثا إنكم لتقولون قولا عظيما. ولقد صرفنا في هذا القرآن ليذكروا وما يزيدهم إلا نفورا. And walk not upon the earth with pride and arrogance. Indeed, you will not be able to tear the earth, nor will you reach the mountains in height. All these evils are really disgusting in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and detestable. These are from the details of wisdom your Rabb sends to you by revelation. And take not a god with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, lest you will be thrown in Jahannam worthy of blame and rejected. Has your Rabb chosen and preferred sons for yourselves and taken up daughters for himself from amongst the malaika? You people say a terrible statement. We have explained in various ways the details and the subjects of the Quran. Have we explained in different various ways that you may receive admonition, but all this only increases their flight away from the truth. Say, if there were gods besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like you people say, then لَبْتَغَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِي الْعَرْشِ سَبِيلًا, they would have all sought ways and access to the Rabb of the throne. Glory be to him, and he is high above all that which they say, exalted and great. The seven heavens and the earth all glorify his praises, and all the beings that are within them. And there isn't a single thing but it glorifies the praises of its Rabb. But you cannot understand the way they glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, he is most enduring and tolerant and most forgiving. In the first verse, Allah Ta'ala speaks about not walking upon the earth with pride and arrogance. That this in itself is a foolish thing. That one walks around the earth in arrogance and pride by you stamping your feet firmly and boasting and walking boastfully. You're not going to tear the earth, and nor are you going to reach the mountains in height. So why do you walk in this manner? That's why the hadith emphasizes this point over and over again, that the one who lowers himself, humbles himself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will exalt him. One place it is explained that the one that humbles himself, then he is dear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and dear to people. And the one that is boastful and proud and arrogant, then he is not liked by people, and he is disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well, worse than the most despicable creation. In another hadith it is reported that one who has an atom of arrogance will not enter into Jannat. And one place it is also reported that greatness is my upper garment and majesty is the lower garment, and whoever tries to take this away from me, then I will throw him into Jahannam. These are the sifat and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah ta'ala doesn't have any partners in his attributes. When he doesn't have any partners in his attributes, then one should not assume that he also has that type of greatness like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. Allah ta'ala's greatness and majesty is his own. It is his personal things. And one who sees some good in another person, then it is not of his own, rather it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for one to feel that this is my own, it's my own achievement, I have got this, and as though you are associating a partner in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with respect to his attributes and his qualities. So the instruction and the emphasis of the hadith is all every person should lower himself, should humble himself, don't consider himself to be worthy of anything. Whatever comes is the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there are any difficulties coming his way, then he should take it in the stride. Don't feel that why this thing has come to me. Rather, consider oneself to be a slave, and a slave, whatever he enjoys, is just a favor, it is just a grace of the one that is above him, and he is not entitled to anything. كُلُّ ذَلِكَ كَانَ سَيِّئُهُ All these evil works, 15 evil works that have been explained in the previous verses, then it is really disgusting and detestable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One does not weigh correctly, he doesn't measure correctly, he doesn't keep up to his promises. He is not concerned about the wealth of orphans and the wealth that doesn't belong to him. And similarly, as far as murder is concerned, then one should be cautious and careful in that respect as well. So these things that Allah Ta'ala explained, evil works, they are very detestable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many a times these evils have such an evil effect. Once a person falls into it, as long as he doesn't fall into these evils, then the road and the access to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clear. He is getting that type of motivation and encouragement from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. But when he plunges into these evils, then that motivation that he had, the drive that he had, and the yearning and enthusiasm that he had towards good, that is killed within him, and he no longer enjoys that type of enthusiasm, that type of motivation. The motivation in him dies. So therefore Allah Ta'ala warns us that these things are very, very disgusting and detestable in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. ذَلِكَ مِمَّا أَوْحَى إِلَيْكَ رَبُّكَ مِنَ الْحِكْمَةِ All these are the details of wisdom that Allah Ta'ala sends down. The worst of all, obviously, is to join up a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes in worship, and sometimes in one's intention, one has someone else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is also a type of shirk, that Allah Ta'ala's worship is exclusive for him, and don't join anybody in his worship, whether it is in your pleasing him, or whether it is for him. Both are detestable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the last verses, Allah Ta'ala speaks about, had there been any god with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, were there any gods besides Allah Ta'ala, then each one would have looked for ways to the Rabb of the throne. In other words, it is natural that when people are of one standing, then one person tries to exceed the other. So, and in this exceeding one another, then obviously there will be problems. So if there were other gods besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then obviously one god will try to exceed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in something or the other. Like if there were more gods than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala decides that there should be rain, and the other one feels that there should be no rain. Allah ta'ala decides that there must be rain to this proportion, and the other one feels, no, there must be more rain. So obviously there will be chaos, there will be problems, there won't be the type of smooth administration that you see in this meanwhile. There will be a disturbance in the administration, there will be some problems, there will be chaos. The earth cannot function in the beautiful, harmonious manner that it is functioning. So this in itself is indicative of the fact that there cannot be any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like we see in any partnership, at some point or the other, there is some type of problem, there is some type of disturbance within the directors, and then they have to separate. So from the beginning of time till now, you don't see any disturbance in this administration. All is going on one way. So it shows that obviously there is one creator. There cannot be logically and possibly any other God besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yaqulun. Glory be to him, and he is high above what they say, full of majesty and full of greatness. And the seven earths and the heavens, all of them glorify the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any living creature that you see, all of them, they recite and glorify the praises of Allah ta'ala, though you may not be able to understand the same. The hadith is reported that the Sahaba say that we had seen pebbles in the hand of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam all reciting tasbih. This tasbih was audible to us. The real miracle was not the reciting of the tasbih, rather the tasbih becoming audible to them. Otherwise, all these things are engaged in the tasbih and the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. The Sahaba also say that we had heard dhikr coming out from the morsels of food that we used to take with Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then it is also reported in the hadith that the ustwana yahannana, the stump that Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recline or used to be near delivering the khutbah, after the mimbar was constructed, Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had left that point and ascended the mimbar. The Sahaba Kiram say the masjid was filled to capacity, and right till the last surf, they could hear the sobbing and the crying, the very bitter crying of the stump because of the separation of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his Mubarak words. This stump was so affected that its crying and its sobbing was heard right till the end of the masjid, until Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu had come himself and consoled it, and it stopped crying. So there isn't a thing that doesn't glorify the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hadith also says that when the muazzin calls out the azan, then there isn't anything, stone, mountain, rock, tree, plant, vegetation, but that will give evidence in support of the muazzin that he had been declaring the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says that one mountain speaks to the other mountain. Has there any person passed by you glorifying and taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When this one replies that yes, there were some people that were glorifying the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this mountain becomes extremely delighted and pleased. So when the name of Allah ta'ala is taken, the mountains, the creatures, though they may seem to be dead and lifeless to us, but they also pleased, they are rejoicing. So by the same token, when evil is taking place, when shirk is taking place, then these things that seem to be lifeless in our sight, they also feel disgusted, they also feel detestable. And أَوْلِ الرَّحْمَانِ وَلَدَى تَكَادُ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَيَتَفَطَّرْنَ مِنْهُ وَتَنْشَقُّ الْأَرْضِ, that the earth may split, the mountains may split, on account of them joining partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they also have some type of perception. Like the Quran Sharif says, وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ لَمَا يَتَفَجَّرُ مِنْهُ الْأَنْهَارِ, and وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَحْبِتُ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ, that there are some mountains and rocks, they fall only on account of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these things, though they may seem to be lifeless in our sight, but they have a life. They can perceive the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being taken. They can perceive when people commit shirk and transgress upon them. They perceive the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when everything engages in the praise of Allah ta'ala in his tasbih, then this should be the very cornerstone, the very essence of man's life, that he's engaged in tasbih, he's engaged in the remembrance of Allah ta'ala, he's engaged in the dhikr of Allah ta'ala, that this marks the very continuity of life. And when this stops, then life also is terminated immediately. May Allah grant us tawfiq.